Hazard Audio.
This week on Sports Appeal, John Adams stands in for Steve Gross alongside Matt Axelrod as the duo get into the Sarkisian fiasco, MLB playoffs, NFL against the spread picks, that on top of Sports Madness and the Tweet Zone, it's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it! Because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Welcome to Sports Appeal. Right next to me, we got Matt Axelrod.
And that's John Adams filling in for our regular host, Steve Gross.
Tweet us at The Sports Appeal. And remember, all music is brought to you by our studio band, Full Service. Go ahead, check them out, guys. They're awesome. They're on iTunes, Spotify. You can check them out on YouTube. We are produced by Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Major League Baseball playoffs, the complete rundown of the games in NFL last week, and we're also going to hit up on Steve and Mike's picks against the spread from last week and dissect how badly they did. But first, we're going to talk about Steve Sarkisian and his latest drunken pill debacle. You hear about this, Matt?
Yeah, this Steve Sarkisian story is crazy. This dude was apparently just drinking on the job, like, all day long, coming to meetings and fundraisers drunk, missing meetings. Eventually, they just ended up firing after a short suspension.
You know, this all started back when he got in trouble, actually had a booster a couple months back in the summertime, and he came up drunk and made a complete ass of himself, actually, brought national headlines, and here we are a couple months later, and he's back at it again.
The latest story now is he was actually fired in the national media first. Now, Pat Hayden, the athletic director at USC, tried to call him and let him know he was being fired over the phone, but apparently he was on a flight at the time, so he actually found out that he was fired by receiving texts and phone calls and emails from his friends expressing their sympathy. Like, that's a pretty rude awakening as you're checking yourself into rehab.
Hilarious. What a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, like, you're already on thin ice. You know you're on thin ice. You can't then be going to events for the school while you're drunk.
Well, even a player even told ESPN via text that Sarkisian showed up lit to these practices, completely obliterated, not making any sense whatsoever. The sad thing is, they got Notre Dame coming up this weekend. They're going to have a new interim head coach. At least they got somebody coming in replacement for Sark, because this guy's a complete mess. They got Clay Helton, actually. He's the USC interim head coach. He was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so he definitely has some experience. You've got someone who knows what he's doing at the helm, but at the same time, it's a terrible situation for USC to have this coach, who had a pretty good reputation up until this, to have to lose him in the middle of the season.
Bottom line, Pat Hayden had to do something, okay? He went to bat for this guy back in the summertime, had his back, said he was going to get help. Here we are a couple months later, he's doing the same thing again. You got to look at the kids, the recruiting class. They had the number one recruiting class coming into this year, and now they have this all going on. Not to mention, they're playing Notre Dame next week, so good luck, USC.
The funniest part of this whole story, don't get me wrong, it's a sad story, but I thought this was pretty amusing nonetheless. Now, one of the ways that Steve Sarkisian got caught, he had apparently gone to a lunch with three assistants, where between them they bought 8 shots and 5 beers before noon, and he expensed it to the university.
Hey, man, if you're going to go out, you got to go out one way. Might as well go down and bring USC with him, you know? The guy's going through a divorce. Yeah, he's going through some hard times. Obviously, he has a bad start to the season, but either way, he had to go. It was a smart move by Pat Hayden. He had to make something happen. And, you know, via text, it's 2015. That's what happens. Emails and texts nowadays, you get fired, so.
That's a crazy story. But with that, we're going to take it to Johnny Five for the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Alrighty, our first tweet is coming to us from the one and only Steve. He may be missing in action right now, but he's still tweeting in to us at The Sports Appeal from his Twitter handle, at GrossGuySteve. Axelrod, are you ready to admit you were wrong about the Bengals?
Okay, first of all, I want to clarify. I never said the Bengals were bad. I said they're good, they're just boring. And I said I don't really trust Andy Dalton. And I have to admit, I was wrong. They've been really exciting to watch, especially that game against Baltimore. That was some just electrifying football. So much fun to watch. And Andy Dalton, to his credit, has looked like the real deal this year. He has definitely looked like a much better quarterback than he has in the past. We'll see what happens when he hits the playoffs, because that's where he always seems to really falter. But for now, I like what I see.
I gotta agree. You know, they kept their winning ways. As bad as people may put down the Bengals, they're not that bad of a team. They're the comeback cats, really, in all perspective. I mean, they're They're putting up some crazy numbers on offense. They have a great defense. And all I can say is expect them to do well in their division.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, what they did to Seattle was just crazy. They scored the last 20 points of the game, 17 in the fourth quarter unanswered, and then three more in overtime to ice it in OT against the Seahawks.
Next one's coming from our fan favorite at MSedano63. Guess what, guys? It's a fantasy question.
Oh, I love it. Give it to me.
Theo Riddick or Charles Sims off waivers, PPR.
Wow. Okay, that's a good question. Either way, though, you're looking at running back by committee. You got Theo Riddick, who's doing some nice things in Detroit. Bottom line, Detroit sucks, so that's a hard thing. I have Sims personally, Charles Sims in my other league, Tampa Bay. You know, he's a workhorse. He shows his speed. He's also running behind Doug Martin. So you got the muscle hamster in front of him. They're splitting carries in the backfield. It's a toss-up. Either way, you don't want to put him in your starting running back position. You're looking more at a running back two or a flex.
Our next one takes a little bit of setup. We originally tweeted at the Sports Appeal after the Saturday game. Cubs won, and Garcia, Lynn, and Wainwright all pitched. It couldn't have gone much better. To which Atgolf Golf's replied to us, "Now, if Rizzo and Brian can get their bats going, we'll be good."
Well, Atgolf Golf's was absolutely right, because in the next game when they came back to Chicago, both Rizzo and Bryant did get their bats going. They each had a home run in that game, and the Cubs were fine.
Yeah, they're monstrous. You know, those two came up. They even talked to Joe Maddon about it, and they asked him in the press conference after game two, what's going to happen with Rizzo and Bryant. He just laughed, because the bottom line, those two are studs. There's nothing to worry about with those two, just like Joe said. He laughed off the question because simple fact of the matter is they're professionals. They're in the game. They're studs. They're the workhorses that got them there. They're going to be the ones that help finish.
And you especially knew that Chris Bryant was going to have a good game coming back home to Wrigley, because I don't know if you've taken a look at his home and away splits, but they are insane. When he is away, his on-base plus slugging is .693, which is below league average. When he is at home, it's 1.037, wow, which is superstar status. So when this kid's at home, he is a world beater.
Yeah, these guys can play.
When we come back, we're going to be getting into the MLB playoffs.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Wait a second, I know that tune. Is that Clock Ticks?
Yeah, you got it, buddy. That is Clock Ticks. Full service. Johnny Five here, producer of the show. We have an awesome band. As you know, every single week we play a song of theirs at the end of the show. We're going to have a really special song at the end of this one, too. But Full Service is our band, and it's really unique and fun that we have John Adams here, because he's the one who introduced me to Full Service. I got to ask you, John, how did you figure out about Full Service?
Actually, big fan of like the reggae rock scene. All big right. Fan of 311. Me and my friends would go to a 311 cruise that they actually have. It would be an annual cruise where they have similar bands. It's pretty much Lollapalooza on a big boat.
That's
so unbelievable, really. And got to meet Bonesaw, face man, if you will, of the band. He plays lead guitar and shreds that axe crazy. They're great guys. They actually travel the country, and they'll actually play at your house. They have cool things called a 20 tour. Their motto is you bring 20 friends, they bring $20, and they'll play 20 songs. So
Full Service is an awesome band. I want to thank you for introducing me to them, and it's just a pleasure and a privilege to bring all of you to Full Service. And one thing that you should know, they're starting up their own podcast. It's called The Whale Pod. Go ahead and check it out. It's a really cool thing. But let's get right back into the sports. What do we have here, John?
What we're going to do is start off with the MLB playoffs, get right to it. How exciting has this been, Matt? I mean, you can't ask for much more being a Cubs fan, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. I've been watching them my entire life. I could not be more excited. I've bought into the whole Theo and Jed plan from the start. Whenever everyone was talking shit about how the Cubs were never going to be good again if they keep trading all their good talent away. I was like, no, man, just got to wait. And here it is. Here's the proof right here. 97 wins this year and a ticket to the National League Championship Series.
Time has come. First time since 2003 that they're in the NLCS. I remember that year. I graduated high school, freshman year in college. I cried. It was terrible. They're doing everything that the 2003 Cubs didn't do. I feel like these kids are just there to play baseball. They don't care about the past. They don't care about the curse. They're just out there to play ball and take care of business.
Yeah, I love that 2003 team, but that was a bunch of, for the most part, overpaid veteran players who a lot of them, it was more about their ego than anything.
Exactly.
Now we've got this group of young guys who love playing baseball with each other. You've got Joe Maddon at the helm, who's really just the ringleader to this incredible morale they have going on. And that seems to be the real secret behind their success this year. That and one other thing that I was just thinking back to. John Lester, right around the All-Star break, right when this whole Cubs ship started taking off, he said to all the young players, we need to play stupid. Don't worry about the fact we're not supposed to be there yet. Just play stupid. Do what you can, and they did.
You know what? These kids are on a roll. You got the young talent, you got young enthusiasm, then you got a mix of nice veteran style, too. So putting that together right now, they got some magic happening on the north side, that's for sure.
Look at the incredible contributions they've had from the rookies and young players this year. I mean, there are hardly any old players on the team, but especially the rookies and Javi Baez, who isn't technically a rookie anymore. You got Javi with the go-ahead homer in Game 4, and then you've got Jorge Soler getting on base his first 9 times up, including a couple homers and a double.
Unreal.
You got Chris Bryant. You got Anthony Rizzo, who's still only 26, and he's one of the veterans on the team.
You know, when you take a look at it, especially in the other game when they had 6 home runs by those guys, 4 of them were from rookies. I mean, it's the first time in Major League Baseball history that there were 6 home runs hit in one playoff game. It happened a bunch of times where there was 5 in a game, never 6, and look who it is. It's the guys on the north side.
In fact, that same day, there was a Major League Baseball record set for total home runs hit in one day of the playoffs at 21. 21 home runs were hit that day.
These guys are on fire. On fire.
Now, turning to the other playoff series that we have going on, as of recording right now, the Texas Rangers lost to the Toronto Blue Jays today 6-3. So Toronto is moving on to the American League Championship Series, and the Rangers are going home after having an impressive 2-0 lead in that game, which they got by winning 2 games in Toronto. So all they had to do was win 1 game at home to ice the series, and they couldn't do it. Toronto came back with a just barrage of offense.
Yeah, Toronto's going to be a tough out for sure. They're a talented baseball club, and they're going to be a tough out going on.
I was really hoping they were going to lose this series, honestly, because I love the brand of baseball they play. They're super exciting. But if the Cubs do manage to advance all the way to the World Series, I did not want to face them and those crazy bats they got.
All right, and around the horn, we got the LA Dodgers and the Mets. But, you know, just even looking at it, it's getting to Game 5. Chase Utley tried to break up the double play, ended up breaking Tejada's leg with a vicious slide. Dirty play. I didn't like the way Chase Utley took it. It was a late slide. Didn't even come close to making contact with the bag. You know, he got suspended for it. He's appealing, but they're going to have to take a look at it.
Come on, man. It was a little bit dirty, but guys do that all the time. No one ever gets suspended for it. You seriously see that play almost every day in the regular season. The only reason he's being suspended for it is because Tejada broke his leg. Now, I kind of get that, but at the same time, how is that play any different from a million other slides you see, except that a guy happened to get hurt? You can't punish a player because another player got hurt on a freak accident on a play that you don't otherwise punish. Totally hypocritical.
I'm a Chase Utley fan. Bottom line, when I saw that live and I didn't know who it was because I flipped to the game, saw it happen immediately, and I was livid. He needs to break up the double play. That's his job, but he took a slide way too late. Hurt Tejada. This guy stood there sitting on the ground, his legs broken, didn't make a flinch, didn't say anything to Utley, didn't mouth off to anybody. Meanwhile, if that was me, he just broke my leg, I'd be cursing out Utley and tell him to go fuck himself.
Yeah, the reason he wasn't cursing him out was because he knew it was a good, hard baseball play, if a little dirty.
Take it easy. Good, hard baseball play. That changed the entire momentum of the game. Utley didn't even tag the base. They rewarded him to go back out, and that would change the whole dynamic of the game. They took a lead, and now we're looking at a Game 5. Come on.
Now, I agree Utley should have been out because he never touched the base. But on the other hand, yeah, he changed the momentum of the game. That's what he was trying to do, and he succeeded. That's baseball.
All right, Axelrod, whatever you say, guy.
Let's move on to the last ALDS series. We've got Houston and Kansas City playing right now. As of us recording right now, it's 4-2 Kansas City. But let's take a look back at the series as it's played out. Now, they each split games at home, including an incredible comeback by the Royals on Monday. We're going to get to that a little bit more later.
You know, personally, it's a lame-ass series. I'm just rooting for Houston because my buddy lives out in Houston. Shout out to J-Mac.
How can you say this is a lame series? You've got maybe the best offensive performance of anybody in the playoffs right now. You've got Colby Rasmus just doing crazy things you'd never have expected from him. He's hitting .438 in 16 at-bats with 4 home runs. This dude is just killing it.
Yeah, man, you know what? This series just isn't doing it for me. Colby Rasmus, not getting it done for me.
All right, well, with that, we're going to take it to break. When we come back, we've got the NFL and Sports Madness. We'll be right back.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
All right, it's Sports Appeal. We're going to get right into the NFL.
Let's do it.
All right, we entered the weekend with six undefeated NFL teams, three from the NFC, three from the AFC. What to our surprise, all of them made it through undefeated.
Yeah, this has got to be the latest into a season you've had six teams still undefeated, or at least close to it. I haven't checked the stat, but that's nuts.
Granted, Carolina had a bye last week, so they're sitting at 5-0, but the stats say that any team with a 5-0 record make the playoffs 91% of the time. Coming into the weekend, we had six teams undefeated, three from the AFC, three from the NFC. We had the Patriots, Bengals, and the Broncos representing the AFC. We had the Packers, Falcons, and the Panthers representing the NFC, all undefeated. But of course, we had Carolina with the bye.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you also had the Patriots, who had a bye the week before. So they are also sitting at 4-0, not 5-0. But very impressive showings from all of these teams so far. The team that's impressed me the most out of all of these so far has got to be the Patriots, because they lost a lot on defense from last year. Now, I know they are the defending Super Bowl champions, but considering all the defensive players, of course, you can't not talk about Darrell Revis leaving the team, but they lost some other big defensive players too, including their nose tackle Vince Wilfork, who they also let walk in free agency, and yet they still look dominant.
You got Tom Brady, who's pissed off at the entire league, pissed off at everybody, I feel like, with the whole Deflategate scandal. You put Tom Brady, you put Bill Belichick together, they're on a mission. They're going to run up the scoreboard on every team they can play against. They don't care about the spread. They're just trying to pile it on and prove points. They're the baddest team in the NFL.
Then you've also got Rob Gronkowski, who's stayed healthy. That's been a little bit of a problem for him in his career. And Julian Edelman, who are just racking up points for the Patriots.
All right, I want to take a little bit of time to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I know he's not our guy being Bears fans, but, you know, just like Brett Favre, you got to respect the guy. He's sick. The guy hasn't thrown an interception at home in the past 19 games until this last Sunday, where he threw not one, but two picks, and also fumbled the ball. So he had three total turnovers for Aaron Rodgers.
He'd thrown at least 600 passes between interceptions at home.
Yeah, and in Sunday, it only took him seven passes in between his first and second interception.
Wow. Now, that is also against the St. Louis Rams, who do have a reputation for being spoilers on defense. Now, the Rams weren't able to come away with a win because they just couldn't get enough done on offense in that game. But the Rams are really a scary defensive team. I always hate when the Bears have to go up against them, because they just demolish us on defense, can never get anything going up against that front seven or their backfield.
St. Louis is a tough team. They got Jeff Fisher as the head coach. They got a stout defense. But luckily for us, we don't play them that often.
Yeah, well, we do have a game against them this year, though, so we'll see how that turns out.
I got the Bears sadly not making it to 500, and I got a bet on that, so I'm not too worried about it. I take this year to kind of make it as a wash.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much either. We got a lot of holes on the team, and we've got a really brutal schedule. Now let's go talk about picks against the spread. Steve Gross last week was talking some shit about my picks against the spread. Unbeknownst to me, John Adams over here did some homework before coming in. He came in talking some shit too about Mike and Steve's picks last week against the spread. You want to break it down?
You know what? I'm not talking shit, but the Gross brothers didn't do too well against their picks against the spread, okay? They won a total of 1-6. Steve was the big winner. He picked New England. That's a safe bet, like he said in the show. They were -9.5 against the Cowboys. It was the first time Tom Brady went and played at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, and he put a show on for the folks in Dallas, not to mention the other games. That was the one winner Steve had. Let's take a look at his brother Mike. He had the Raiders at home +5 against Denver. That didn't pan out.
He even picked them to win that game.
That he did, and they did not win. They lost by 6, did not cover the spread. We're also looking at Mike's second pick, which was the Rams. He had them with +9.5 against the Packers. That wasn't good enough. Not a high enough spread for the Rams. They didn't cover. They lost 10-24. Mike's last lock of the week was Atlanta, -7.5 against the Redskins. The Redskins are terrible. Atlanta beat the Redskins, but he did not cover. I know Steve was high on Blake Bortles with the Jaguars, the battle in Florida, the Florida feud. That was actually the most popular game on Red Zone. They had the most Red Zone action. He took Jacksonville +3. They didn't win the game. They lost 31-38. He was high on Bortles. That didn't turn out. And last but not least, he had the Giants taking over the 49ers with a -7.5. We all know that was a nail-biter game. Giants did win. They won by 3. Didn't cover the spread. All in all, 1-5 for the Gross Brothers. Hopefully we can do a little bit different here, Amit.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, my first pick this week, somehow the Seattle Seahawks are actually favored to win by 7 against the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Seahawks are at home, but something is not right with this team this year. They're 2-3 now. They don't look good, and they've got the Panthers coming in red hot coming off of their bye week. So this is not looking good for the Seahawks. I expect the Panthers to win this game, at the very least, to cover the spread.
Yeah, you know, Cam Newton, he's having a hell of a year. He's throwing the ball right, even with his limited weapons. He's got some injuries to his receiving core. Benjamin went down with an ACL, and Cam Newton's still making things happen. All right, I'm going to go with my first pick, and I'm going to go with Arizona -3 against Pittsburgh. I don't trust Michael Vick throwing the ball. Obviously, Bell's a horse in the backfield for Pittsburgh. The kid's a fantasy stud, but I'm going to take Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals for this one, -3.
I'm going to take the New England Patriots. They're on the road at the Indianapolis Colts. Now, they are favored by 9.5 on the road, but they have just dominated the Colts every single time they play them. The Colts haven't looked very good this year in a lot of their games. I feel very comfortable taking the Patriots.
You know, like your boy Steve said, he's going to bet on the Patriots until they prove otherwise. I think that's a safe bet as well. Even though I don't have the Bears going .500 for the season, I'm going to take the Bears with a +3. They're getting points against a terrible, pathetic, winless Lions team. That whole team is in shambles. They pulled Stafford last week. He threw 3 picks. They got Orlowski throwing the pill over there. I'll take Cutler. I'll take his shoddy opinions and shoddy chances. We're going to take that Bears +3.
For my last pick, I'm going to take the Bengals. They are favored to win by 3.5 on the road at the Buffalo Bills, and I fully expect the Bengals to win that game big. No problem taking the Bengals at -3.5.
You know, the Bills are just a big question mark. Bottom line is they got Rex Ryan at the helm trying to pump up their team. You got Tyrod Taylor running around trying to make something happen. He doesn't have a specific receiver that he targets the best. Sammy Watkins is still injured. Percy Harvin, he's questionable. He screwed me last week. I put him in my lineup. He didn't even end up playing, so I like your pick. Go Bengals.
Speaking of Tyrod Taylor, I had actually heard speculation that EJ Manuel might end up getting the start, and we've all seen how that story ends.
No, you're right there with that pick, but my last pick, what I'm going to go with is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're +1 right now. They just had a huge loss, okay? It was the Battle of Florida. They lost. They showed they could score points. That's the one thing Houston has proven that they can't do. They can't score points. So we're going to take Jacksonville with a +1.
Sounds good to me. Now, are you ready for sports madness?
Fuck yeah.
Sports madness.
Our first story in sports madness comes to us from the great state of Texas. We've got Texas Governor Greg Abbott. His official Twitter handle sent out a tweet saying, "Congrats to the Astros on advancing to the ALCS. Hoping for an all-Texas ALCS. Looking at you, Rangers." Now, the problem with that is the game was still going on. In fact, both games were going on at that point. And in the hour after he sent out that tweet, which he's now deleted, the two teams gave up a combined 14 runs, and both of them lost that day.
Huh, what an ass. I can't believe that someone in his position can turn to social media during an actual game and tweet something like that. You're in the playoffs. You're in an actual game. Get off your phone like everyone else that's out there. You're the governor of the state. Don't embarrass yourself. You guys are dumbass.
It actually gets even better. So apparently, Governor Abbott doesn't run his official Twitter handle. He has his own Twitter handle that he does run, and he told people to unfollow his, like, governorship Twitter handle and follow his own personal handle. So he threw whatever intern that runs his, like, official governor Twitter handle under the bus and said, "Nah, unfollow my other handle and follow this one instead."
Well, sad,
ridiculous.
Sad thing for Houston, even right now while we're recording, they're currently losing 2-7, the top of the ninth, so it doesn't look too good for an all-Texas World Series.
In fact, no Texas World Series.
And the next story on Sports Madness, Kyle Schwarber's home run bomb that he crushed out over into the right field on a 1-1 count. It landed on top of the scoreboard. You know what they're going to do with that ball?
What are they going to do?
They're actually going to take a case, and they did it today. They put a plexiglass case over the ball. They put the ball on top of a nice stand. They're keeping it there as kind of like a memento to keep the rally going, the positive vibes going. So
yeah, I can't believe it stayed up there. That thing had so much momentum. How did it not like bounce onto the street or something?
You can't believe it stayed there. I can't believe not some diehard Cubs fan didn't come scaling that like Spider-Man and just taking the damn thing over the night. But at least they got to it today, and it's all safe and sound on top of the Jumbotron.
And one last thing before we part ways. Last week, Steve and Mike started a new tradition. All of our guests from now on are going to make a bold prediction. You got one prepped?
The only bold prediction I can go with is I'm going with Back to the Future. That's right. I'm going to take the Cubs to win the World Series. Even Back to the Future knew what was going to happen for our Cubs.
Wait a minute. Cubs win World Series? Against Miami?
Yeah, it's something, huh? Who would have thought? 100-1 shot. I wish I could go back to the beginning of the season, put some money on the Cubs.
Right. It's a crazy prediction they had decades ago. If this could actually come true, oh, that would be nuts. That'll do it for Sports Appeal. Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. We're produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio. I want to thank John Adams for coming in, filling in for Steve this week.
I want to thank you, Matt. Johnny Five, thank you for having me down here. It's been a blast. It's like Schwarber's home run, baby. Come on. And to take us out of here, we're going to have Full Service play Better Back Then. One of my favorite jams. Seriously, guys, go check them out. FullServiceMusic.com.
expect them to do good things in their new division.
Expect them to good. Expect them to good. See, now you got me fucked up. Expect them to good. God damn it! Are you fucking kidding me?
Hazard Audio.